I'm Tom Moeller, and this is Along the Way. You're about to hear an interview that's going to be controversial. Author Larry Ellis wrote a book that was released just yesterday entitled Called Together, Biblical Leadership for Women and Men. The interview is going to be controversial because the book is controversial. My guest is author and really old friend Larry Ellis, and I don't mean that age-wise, Larry. Well, maybe I do, but a longtime friend who is an author, the author of a book called Called Together, Biblical Leadership for Women and Men. Women and Men.
That was intentional.
I'm sure it was, and we'll talk about that. Larry, so good to see you again.
Thank you, Tom.
And then also with you is Barbara Russo, who edited the book, and also is a woman in ministry as a pastor of an Anglican church, right, Barbara?
That is correct. Good morning.
So good morning to you. Glad you could join us.
Thank you.
Larry, just before we talk about the book, and I want to start with kind of an overview of the book, how it's constructed, and the conclusion. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a registered professional engineer. I did work in telecom for about 35 years. All along, though, since the 70s, I was teaching Bible studies and I co-pastored a very large singles ministry for a number of years. And then I went, decided that I needed a little formal education. I went to graduate school and got a master's and doctorate in worship studies, which is kind of a combination of Christian history and theology and a little sociology.
This book, Called Together, Biblical Leadership for Women and Men, tell us, give us an overview as to what the book contains.
Well, I grew up in a culture where women weren't pastors. Pastors were male, deacons were male, ushers were male. Women did a lot of the work. They taught children in Sunday school, but they never taught men in Sunday school. And I never thought much about it until I was invited to a church by a friend, a Nazarene church, and they had a woman evangelist at a revival, which to me was completely aberrant. But it was okay. I wasn't bothered by it. But, I continued on through college and then in graduate school, and I had studied a lot of the passages in Scripture in the New Testament, and I had heard things like, the husband is the head of the wife, and women should be silent in church. And these were Scriptures that I had read, and they troubled me. I didn't like them. And I thought, I wonder if they mean what I understand they mean. And so I began studying and reading authors. I did, I used Logos Bible software, which allows me to go into the Greek and do word studies. And I had an aha experience that a lot of the meanings of words that are put out there have a connotation that, in English especially, that are not there in the Greek. And so, therefore, I decided I needed to write this book. I've known Barbara for many, many years. She's edited several of my books. And, of course, being a woman pastor, she cared very much about how this is put together. Well, my conclusion is that it's not an option to prohibit women from any service of ministry. God calls women to be pastors. He calls them to be prophets. He calls them to be servants. There's just no gender distinction in God's call into the church. And Galatians 3:28, which we all know, There's no difference between male and female, men, women, Jews, Gentiles. And that was a seemingly conflicting scripture with some of the others. So I came to the very firm conclusion that women should be affirmed in their gifts. If they have the gifts and the calling, they should be unleashed to do the ministry that only God has called them to do. And that in some churches, that's not even an issue. Other churches are very hesitant because they hang on a couple of these words, which in English carry connotations that are simply not there in Greek.
I know you not to be a flaming liberal who just departs scripture.
You know? Right.
I mean, you are firmly based in understanding scripture and seeking to understand scripture.
Yeah.
And coming to whatever conclusion.
Some churches, some people who embrace women don't do it on a biblical basis. Right. They do it on a sociological basis, a cultural basis, a justice basis. But that's not where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. I'm coming from a very exhaustive study of the scriptures.
Barbara, let me bring you in on this as the editor of the book. I think it's very convincingly laid out with scripture, with historical fact, and as you mentioned, Larry, with an examination of the Greek, which you've got to do if you're going to do biblical exegesis. Tell me how you approach the editing of this book.
There was quite a bit of collaboration. Larry, of course, was the one who drafted the book and had many readers before I even began editing or took my first look at it. And it was so very clearly laid out by Larry that the only question really was, well, does this paragraph belong in this chapter or another chapter? So there was quite a bit of reorganization in that sense. But as far as the clarity with which Larry is able to really see, here are the different issues, here are the different questions. And then I so appreciated also Larry's, I think, unique bringing in some of the history of women in the Bible, women in the Old Testament, women in the New Testament, Christian women through generations of before the Reformation, during the Reformation, and now bringing in all these different voices. That was all Larry, and he deserves the credit for that. That was, I think, a very insightful of him to include those.
You know, it's interesting to me, knowing that you have this engineering background, which is very specific. There is a definite approach that you bring to this issue and to your study of Scripture that's very systematic.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Also, I was amazed when I did a little research. One of the chapters here is on women martyrs. And, you know, we know about all the apostles except for John that were martyred, but we don't know much about women martyrs. And there is a lot of women who have been murdered because of their Christian faith. I mean, brutally. And and I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And I discovered that in my research. So there is a chapter on that, how women were subjected to things that even men weren't subjected to.
Mm-hmm. The book is called Together, Biblical Leadership for Women and Men. And it's interesting you put the women gender in front of men gender in that title. To really emphasize your point, I think, right?
Right, absolutely.
And tell me about the organization of the book. I have the contents in front of me where you indicate where we are, and you present various witnesses to build the case for your conclusion, and we spoke in a general sense that you have the witness of Scripture, you have the witness within Scripture of women who obviously were gifted by the Holy Spirit and called in that gifting, and then historical witnesses. Walk us through the building of your case.
The opening part of the book, I talk about what is the what's the divide. You know, there's the complementarians who believe that women should be subordinate to men, and then there's the egalitarians who believe that women are not over men, but they're not under men, that God gifts them as well as men. And so I explain both points of view, and then, of course, I've adopted the egalitarian framing. And so an early reader of my draft said, while this is a great book, it needs to have the touch of witnesses. And so I then contacted about a dozen women that I know in ministerial type positions, and I asked them a simple question. Can you tell me about an experience you've had where you felt you were discriminated against because you were a woman? You know, every one of them had one to tell me. And they're all true. They're not all in the book. I think I settled down on 8 different vignettes. And but so those are kind of dispersed throughout the book. Then I also decided I wanted to look at the history of women who had taught. I discovered Margaret Fell, who I'd never heard of. She published a document in 1666 affirming women as preaching, and she was actually put in jail by the British government because they had a law that outlawed women gathering spiritual groups together without permission of Parliament. And she went in jail, and she wrote this, I guess, while she was in jail, I believe. But there are just so many surprising stories of history. And today, you know, we have Bible Study Fellowship by Miss Johnson. I mean, just so many. And then I went back and looked at the witnesses in Scripture of women who impacted the kingdom of God. And there's some interesting twists on things. Again, I'd never heard of Huldah. I'd never heard of some of these other women, but there are books that no one reads that tell about some of these women. And then you go in and you say, I never saw that in Scripture. And so there were just many of those little surprises.
And when you finally go into Scripture, you go, oh yeah.
Why didn't I see that before?
Right.
But then you have, you know, into the Gospels, we see the Samaritan woman at the well, and there's way more to that story than I thought. And the prodigal son, the same way. There's so many stories that we take one little kernel out of the story, and then we don't look for anything else. And there's often a great deal there. Finally, of course, I looked exhaustively at the teachings of Jesus and also the teaching of the Apostle Paul. And I just think he's been given a bum rap. And it's people have taken the English translation and made projections of our culture onto them. I mean, we lived in a, you know, it was a patriotic world. I mean, not a patriotic, a
paternalistic
yeah. world. And many things were written and interpreted through that lens. And that is, that's really sad. And it's not how Jesus operated. I mean, he had many examples where he affirmed women in leadership. And of course we have, you know, women apostles, we have women church small home church leaders. So anyway, there's just so much there, and so I had to put something out there that would challenge some of these historical positions. And so that's my goal here, is to make people think and to see there is an alternative view that is very affirming of women.
And it is, from what I can see, and I as I say, I skimmed your book, and I plan on buying it and reading it thoroughly. But from what I can see, it's not just affirming women, because you can affirm women and deviate from Scripture.
Right.
But you're affirming Scripture, and the basis of your argument is Scripture. And the affirmation, and you saw through, rising through, looking at the Greek and the understanding in the grammatical, historical view of the language, and not through the view of our culture, things that brought you to this conclusion.
Right. Even a little bit of the Hebrew.
Uh-huh.
The word helper, for instance, has a connotation of being subordinate in English and in America. Mm-hmm. And that is not at all what that meant. You know, I think 17 of the 20-some-odd times the word helper appears either in Hebrew is referring to God was our helper.
And definitely
not subordinate to God.
Not subordinate.
Yeah, God is not subordinate.
Barbara, let me ask you the question that Larry posed to other women in ministry, and he said virtually everyone cited instances of discrimination. I'm assuming that you can raise your hand and say, yay, amen.
Yes, I can. And I want to just preface that and say, too, you know, that I grew up in an evangelical church. After I came to Christ, where if you wanted to be a Bible-believing Christian, which I did, there was only one way to look at this, and to look at this question of where, how women fit into the ministry of the church. And so I just assumed that that was what I believed. And then I began to examine that, and over a period of about 20 years, before I finally came to a different conclusion, based on what did the Bible say and based on all these women in Scripture who had exercised ministries that were very obviously powerful in the development of the New Testament church. So that's what convinced me to rethink this whole question, and Larry does a great job of examining that very thing. But yes, I'm one of the people who, after I did decide that women were indeed called to ministry, that and that God appeared to be calling me, I have been called a heretic to my face, not because of what I taught, but because I was teaching at all. And so it's a very painful experience to be called a heretic by your brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, it breaks my heart that this kind of thing is still happening. And the thing that I'd so appreciate about Larry's book is that let us at least come to the place where, as in so many other questions of the faith, we can say, let us agree to disagree. Let us, at the very least, have love and respect for one another, so that I understand that you as a Christian are looking as best you can at what God says through the Scripture, but I understand that other people will read it who are equally devoted and equally committed to Christ, who may come to a different conclusion.
Obviously, this, Larry, is going to be very controversial. I'm assuming you've run into being very controversial even before this book came out yesterday.
Yes, certainly. People who are affirming of women in spiritual leadership are, of course, they are won over, and they're very supportive. Mm-hmm. And there are a few organizations that are supportive of this. But then there are powerful forces that oppose this, that believe that a woman's place should be subordinate to a husband and if not a husband, then some other adult male. And those are the people that I hope will have the will, be willing to read this book and look at the scriptures.
You know, I think, you know, the, your position begs a whole lot of questions. I would suggest the starting point would be, as you say, just to read the book, because you've laid it out, and Barbara, you've really helped in that editing process and in the collaborative work between the two of you to put a very well thought out and compelling argument. And just like everything, I would at least suggest that instead of throwing rocks, coming up with names and so forth, that you read the book and the evidence. And then from that, you might have some questions and say, yeah, but what about this? What about that? What's your take on that? And that's all legitimate in terms of the discourse of our hammering out our understanding of what God is asking of us. Called Together, Biblical Leadership for Women and Men by Larry Ellis.
It is available to buy on barnesandnoble.com or on amazon.com.
Are there other opportunities where people of goodwill can gather together and ask questions and maybe to have a forum or anything like that? Is anything like that in the offing?
Well, there are several organizations that that are affirming of women in pastoral leadership. Christians for Biblical
Equality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. CBEinternational.com is probably the biggest one. As with all my books, I've always been open to having a, if you want to read the book as a group and you want to have a discussion, I can have a Zoom gathering with you. Beautiful. Or Skype gathering. Done that a number of times. So you can dialogue back and forth with your group, and that's a great thing to do.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. And you have a website?
Yes, adorationpublishing.com.
Adorationpublishing.com. Barbara, let's puff your book. What's your book?
It's called Welcome to Confusion, A Surprising Doorway to God. It talks about my own personal experiences and also talks about, is based on the idea that, you know, when Jesus came and interacted with people so often, what he did was create confusion.
Yeah.
He didn't come to answer questions.
Right.
He came to tell us that our own answers weren't right. Mm-hmm. And so he often went about creating confusion. And through that confusion, people were able to get a bigger vision of who Jesus is and who God is. And so I just tell a lot of little stories about Jesus in the New Testament, and interweave that, of course, with my own personal experience of feeling confused a lot, and then how God has used that to increase my vision of him.
Man, that sounds great. And I've always believed that Jesus purposely created confusion so people would scratch their heads,
exactly,
go away thinking about it, saying, what on earth did he mean?
Exactly.
And, of course, you get a picture of that when the apostles with
constantly
off the side,
yes,
they would say, what did,
who is this guy?
So that's great. That's just rock solid. Larry, thank you so much for
thank
for
you,
being
Tom.
Here.
It's wonderful to be here.
Thanks for joining us along the way today, and join me weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 94.7 FM The Word, as I introduce the teaching features along with the traffic and the weather. Then, back here on weekends, on Along the Way. I'll talk to you then.